Or not at 6 o'clock. We need helpers. Amen. Somebody that can help us make peanut bill tomorrow night. Would you raise your hand? See if it's going to be just Brother James and I or somebody else. All right. Thank you so very much. You're a good bunch. 6 o'clock. If you can be here. We've had some requests for that, so we're going to do it. Amen. And guess what we're going to do Saturday? We're going to have our very first Preacher's Academy at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we're going to be excited about that. We're going to be teaching homiletics and hermeneutics. And if you don't know what that is, you need to come find out. And then we're going to be studying something else. Amen. We're going to be studying ethics. Amen. And that'll be good. And then at afternoon, at 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, I've been trying to think of a name for this, and I the best I can come up with on the spot is we're going to call it Brown Bag Bible College. And we're going to call it Brown Bag Bible College because you bring your lunch. If you want to eat with us, bring your lunch at 12 o'clock, bring your brown bag, and then from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we're going to have Bible school for anybody. You don't have to be a preacher. Anybody wants to come. Amen. If you want to come and study the Word of the Lord, we're just asking that you get serious about it. We don't want 50 people on Saturday and then 2 people the next Saturday. So make up your mind you want to study, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be plain old study. Amen. But the Bible said, study to show yourselves approved. Amen. So if you're serious about learning the Word of the Lord in the afternoon, Brother Neil is going to be teaching New Testament survey, Old Testament survey. Brother Hart's going to be teaching Pentecostal doctrine. It will be a blessing. Amen. It's going to be, we're going to have it once a month. It'll take all of your Saturday, but my, how well worth it. Praise God. When will we get through with that, Brother Grisham? The graduation is the rapture. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Let's read tonight from the Word of the Lord, Judges chapter 18. Let me start in the 7th verse, then we'll skip down to the 27th verse. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless. Everybody say careless. How they dwelt careless. After the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And then going down to the 27th verse. And they took the things which Micah had made and the priest which he had, and came to Laish unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon. And they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth in Bethrao. And they built a city and dwelt therein, and called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. Amen. I want to preach tonight about a simple subject, living on the edge. Living on the edge. Amen. We hear so much today about being on the edge. Got to live on the edge. Got to be on the edge. Man, get on the edge. Get with it. I'm going to tell you the danger living on the edge. There's danger living in the shadow, in the periphery. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Father, sound asleep in the middle of the night, heard a thump. He ran down the hall, bouncing off the walls all the way in the darkness, jumped over the coffee table, ran to his son's room, throws open the door. There's a little boy on the floor, and he's crying, "Why?" His dad said, "What happened, son?" He said, I fell off the bed. He said, well, why do you think you fell off the bed? He said, well, I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. I just stayed too close to where I got in. One of the great dangers of the Christian life is to stay too close to where you got in. This is about progress. This is about growth. This is a journey, not just a destination. Amen. We're expected to go and to grow and to progress. We can't stay at the same place that we got in without some danger. Amen. Praise God. It's about going forth and going forward. Amen. We're supposed to grow in this Christian life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It's about growth tonight. It's about going forward from where we were. Amen. We need folks today that have their mind made up that I'm in this thing for the long haul. I got in right there. Amen. But I'm not going to stay here. I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's wonderful to start the journey. But there have been a lot of people that started the journey that have not finished the journey, so sadly. Amen. But praise God. Whenever you start this thing, you got with a made up mind, you will make it through. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your mind made up. Put one foot in front of the other foot and march on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that this is the generation on whom the ends of the world are come. Amen. We are living in the end, Brother Hart. You preached about that this morning. And I believe we are. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're living at the end of the age and the beginning for the church. Amen. And we're at the end of something here. And when the end of things is things, that's where unraveling starts. You know, a rope seldom unravels in the middle. It starts coming undone at the end. Let's not come undone at the end, folks. We're living in the end times, but let's don't get too tattered here. Let's don't come unravel now. Amen. Wear and tear happens at the end of the journey. And we are at the end. And let me tell you something. If you haven't noticed, the world is coming undone. Amen. Everywhere you look, there's a whole bunch of things. If you can just look back a little ways, it was safer then than it is now. We had less problems and more solutions than we do now. Now we got a lot more questions and a lot less solutions. Amen. Nobody knows what to do. Everybody, we're trying all kinds of things. And none of it seems to be succeeding. You know why? Because we're at the end of the age. Hallelujah. But I know somebody that knows the answer. I know somebody that has the solution. Hallelujah. The Bible said He's going to make a new heaven and He's going to make a new earth. Hallelujah. He's going to start all over. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're living at the end of the age. We're at the end of something. And the best place to be in the end time is in the middle of the church. Amen. Not on the edge, but in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Right in the heart of it. Praise God. Amen. If you've ever seen or known somebody that had the dreaded disease, diabetes, one of the worst things that can happen to them is to get a sore in their extremities, down on the toes, on the foot. You see, why is that? Because it's the furthest away from the heart, and it's hard to get the blood down there. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. You need to stay close to the heart of this thing. And Jesus is the heart of the church. You need to get just as close to the heart as you can get. Hallelujah. Because you're going to have some problems. And you're going to have some difficulties. And you're going to stumble sometimes. And you're going to make some mistakes along the way. And you're going to get hurt along the way. And people are going to say things along the way. Amen. You're going to get your feelings hurt along the way. A lot of things are going to happen. But if you stay close to the heart, there's healing there. Close to the heart, there's cleansing there. Close to the heart, there's warmth and there's love and there's strength. Just stay close to the heart. That's the danger of the periphery. The devil loves to get you back on the outside. Amen. He loves to get you way back out on the edges of things. Amen. Hey, whenever you start getting close to the edge, living on the edge is a dangerous thing. Amen. People are straddling the fence, trying to make up their mind whether they want to get in or get out. I remember a young person one time, when I was a young person, and somebody was talking about some activity they wanted to do that was in the world, and the young person knew it was wrong, and they said, "Why don't you wait a few months and I'll backslide and we'll do it together?" Amen. No, you can't live on the periphery, folks. Don't live on the edge. Get in the center of this thing. Get right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be like the guy. He said, "I was there when heaven kissed the earth, right in the middle of the smack." That's where you want to live, right in the middle of the smack. Amen. You don't want to live on the periphery, and you don't want to live on the edge, but you want to get in as close as you can get. And stay right there. Hallelujah. Like that was a Sunday school teacher. One day she told her kids, she handed them a piece of paper. And she said, "On one side of this," he said, "I want you to write about the Holy Ghost. And then I want you to flip the paper over, and I want you to write about the devil." Boy, the little boy grabbed that paper, and he started writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And the teacher called time, and she collected the paper. She got the little boy's paper, and she looked, man, it was one side. He wrote about the Holy Ghost, had the whole page filled up. She looked on the other side. It was blank. Amen. She said, "Son," she said, "I told you about the Holy Ghost on one side and about the devil on the other side." The little boy said, "I know, teacher." He said, "But when I got to writing about the Holy Ghost," he said, "I didn't have any time for the devil." Hallelujah. Amen. That's, hey, listen to me tonight. If you'll get so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the Holy Ghost, you don't have any time for the devil. Amen. You don't have any time for his things. You don't have any time for this world. Amen. Hey, it's about getting your mind made up. Some people say, I'd like to go to church, but I don't have the time. You need to rearrange your priorities. Hallelujah. When Jesus becomes your priority, when the Lord is your priority, when you get wrapped up in this thing and it becomes your life, amen, then it'll become your family's life. It'll become your children's life. Amen. They'll know that this is something real. Hear me tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, Brother Grissom, how can I save my kids? The best way is get right smack in the middle of the church and get them involved right smack in the middle of the church. Amen. It's never a question, are we going to church tonight? It's always, it's church time. We're going to church tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hey, when you get really wrapped up and get in the center of this thing, but don't live on the edges. Amen. Living on the edge is a dangerous place to live. The Bible in 2 Samuel, I believe it is chapter 11, talks about a great warrior by the name of Abimelech. Abimelech was in the middle of a battle, and the Bible says that he got close to the wall, and a little old lady leaned out with a rock, and she let it fall, and it hit him right in the head and killed him on the battlefield. Of all the ways to die. And somebody said, why did Abimelech go so close to the wall? Why are you living on the edge, Abimelech? Why did you get too close? Amen. Praise God. Amen. You see, Satan's on a leash tonight. He's like a mad dog on a leash. He can only go so far. But he can go so far. Amen. The best way to avoid having trouble with the devil is stay out of his territory. Because I promise you, if you step over the line and you get in his territory, he'll get you. Amen. My cousin and I, one time, little boys, we were walking down the street, and there was a big old dog in the yard, and he wasn't growling, wasn't saying anything. We were walking along the street. He was walking right beside us, just big old smile on his face. A car came by, and got real close to us. And matter of fact, he hit a puddle of water and splashed us. And so we jumped up on the yard so that we could get out of the way. And about that time, that big old German Shepherd latched on the back of my leg. Rah! Teeth and all. I mean to tell you, big old gash in my leg. Amen. Boy, that hurt. I got off of that yard in a hurry. And when I got through, he just stepped back and started laughing again. He was at peace. He just said, don't you get on my territory, son. Long as you're out there, we're fine. You get over here, you're in trouble. And it taught me a good lesson. Amen. And in the Christian life, there's some places you don't go. And there's some things you don't do. And there's a way you don't live. Amen. Somebody said, I don't know about all this standard stuff. Sounds like legalism. And yet, in the world of business, you know what people talk about? They say, we have the highest standard in the industry. And we go, whoa, I want to buy that product. Highest standard in the industry. The only place we have trouble with standards is in the church. The only place people don't want standards is in the church. When you go down to the gas station, you want standards. You want gas that's made right. You want real gasoline. You want 100% gasoline. And whenever you start pumping, when it gets to a gallon, you don't want it cheating you at all. You want a standard to say you're getting what you paid for. Amen. Why is it when it comes to living for God, we call it legalism when somebody tries to say there's a standard here. There's a way to live this life. We don't want to get too close to the edge because it's dangerous over there. We're going to set some boundaries here so that you'll know where the boundary is. Amen. I heard about a school one time and the kids were always pushing. They were always pushing on the fence and climbing the fence and on the playground. And so they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just take down the fence. And they did. And the kids huddled in the middle of the playground and they were fearful. And somebody said, why don't you play like you used to play? They said, because we don't know where the boundaries are. Amen. Hey, we need to know where some boundaries are. The Word of God outlines some boundaries for us to live by. Amen. And we need to just simply pay attention and not try to get too close to the edge. Isn't it good to know where the boundaries are? Amen. Praise God. When we lived in Colombia, I longed for some boundaries. Here in the United States, you get up in the mountains and we've got these guardrails. They don't know what a guardrail is over there. You're on your own, buddy. Amen. You get up and you're thousands of feet up and you can look way down in the valley and you'll see some cars and buses down there that didn't quite make the turn. And then you say, "Woo, Lord help me, I need a boundary here." And instead of getting as close to the edge as I could get, I'd get as close in as I could get. And then about that time, a big old bus would start coming the other direction. And I'd have to move over just as far as I could get and just pray and that it didn't knock me over the edge. You don't want to get close to the edge, folks. It's dangerous living on the edge. Get into the center of this thing. Move right into the middle of it. Don't see how close you can get. Don't see how loose you can live. Don't see how close to the devil you can get. See how close to Jesus you can get. Amen. Praise God, because there's a danger when we get too close to the edge. Abimelech, why did you get so close to the wall that a woman could drop a rock on your head? Amen. And the sad thing is, it was all over. The Bible said about a man called Lot, it said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then it's not but just a little bit later we find out that he had moved into Sodom. And he was sitting at the gates of Sodom. And he lost his entire family in Sodom. Amen. It's not so much the direction, but which way is your tent pitched tonight? Where have you set your affections tonight? What means most to you tonight? What do you get excited about tonight? Amen. I don't care. I don't mind if people get excited about fishing. I don't mind if people get excited about hunting. I don't mind if people get excited about some sport. That doesn't bother me, as long as you get more excited about Jesus Christ. But if you start getting more excited about anything else than you get excited about Him, you're getting too close to the edge. Amen. Praise God. I've heard people preach against golfing and go fish 6 times a week. Amen. Praise God. You know, it really is what you like, isn't it? You know, it's a sin if you don't like it. There are some things that are simply preferences. That's all it is. It's just a preference. If it's something you like to do and it's not ungodly, but you better love the Lord more than you love anything else in this life. Anything that ties up your time so much you can't get to church, you're too tied up. Hey, you're too involved. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, you know I'm a part of the Goodwill Society for the Betterment of Mankind, and you are just doing such wonderful work here in the city, and we're just so tied up with that, and so I just have to miss a lot because I'm doing so good. Amen. You may be doing good, but you're not doing as good as you could if you'd served the Lord. Amen. You just tell whoever's the head of the Goodwill Committee for the Betterment of Mankind. You need to just say, hey, honey, say, I like this. We're doing some good work. But when it comes Wednesday night, I'm going to church. When it comes Sunday morning, I'm going to be in the church house. When it's Sunday night, I'll be in the church house. When we have revival, I'll be in the church house. I've made up my mind, I'm going to be in the church house. Yeah. Folks, could I tell you something tonight? That is a little bit disturbing. I hear people talk sometimes and they say, Brother Grissom, we need to have revival. And I get excited with you. Yes, we need revival. But I have noticed that when we have revival, we have a different crowd every night. And some folks never get here except on Sunday. What do you mean, we? Is that all right? Thank you much. Amen, because I was going to preach it anyway. Hallelujah. But if we are going to have revival, then we need to make up our mind that we're going to be here Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. We're going to be here every service. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. No living on the edge. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a man by the name of Peter. We love Peter, don't we? I like Peter. He's one of my favorite characters in the whole Bible. But Peter got in trouble one day. You know what got him in trouble? The Bible said he was following Jesus afar off. He got too far. He was just kind of straggling behind. He was still in the race, but he was living on the edge. And when trouble came, he didn't have what it took to get through it. When trouble came, a little old girl looked at him. He was over there warming himself by the fires of the soldiers. You see, you get too close to the world and too far from Jesus, you'll get in trouble. You'll not have enough strength to even identify with him. And that's exactly what happened. Little girl said, this man right here, I saw him with Jesus. He's one of them. And Peter, I'm sure, was shocked when he said, no, I'm not. Little old girl couldn't even stand up to her accusation. Little while later, she said it again. I saw you with those. You even talk with a, you get around Jesus, you get a Jesus accent. He said, you even sound like him. Praise God, that's wonderful. Sound like him, live like him, be like him. Amen. He couldn't deny it. But he said, no. I'm not one of them. Last one more time, she accused him, and he said, well, let me cuss a little bit. Maybe that'll show you. When you get too far from Jesus, you don't have the strength to stand up and be identified. You lose your Christian identity. Amen. Praise God. Now, folks, I know very well tonight that we're not going to be saved because of our outward standard. We're not going to be saved because our hair is right. We're not going to be saved because our clothes are modest and we're living right. That's not what's going to save us. But that is your testimony. That is your testimony. That does identify you with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello. Amen. You see, it just really depends on what you worship and what you love. You go in somebody's room, you know, and they got rock stars on the wall. You know how they want to dress? Huh? You know how they want to live? You know what kind of music they want to listen to? You know what kind of lifestyle they want to live? You know what kind of spirit they want to manifest? Their hero. Because that's who they love, and that's what they listen to, and that's what they give themselves to. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You go in somebody's room and it's all about Hollywood and it's all about the latest and greatest on the television or the movie screen and that's what I want to be. That's how I want to live. I want to be a size zero. Amen. So skinny. I stand sideways and stick up my tongue. I look like a zipper. that's kind of the way this world wants to be today. Amen. They got their image in the wrong place. Amen. I'm glad I read somewhere it said the fat is the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, maybe that wasn't what that meant exactly, but hallelujah anyhow. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. It's what you identify with. It's what you love. Amen. Amen. You get too close to the edge and you can't identify with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what the Bible said about that early church. It said, and they were called. Everybody say, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Amen. You know what Antioch was? Antioch was the first Gentile church. It was the first place that people intentionally said, hey, guess what? We want to go out and see if this works on Gentiles like it works on Jews. And they got to preaching the gospel to everybody without any prejudice and without any restraint. And guess what? It worked. Hallelujah. Gentiles started coming into the church. And the church started multiplying and growing. Amen. And the people of the city saw such a marvel. They said, these are Christians, because they walk like Jesus and they talk like Jesus and they remind us of Jesus and they act like Jesus and everything they do reminds us of Jesus. That's all they want to talk about is the Christ. These must be Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. They didn't call themselves Christians. The world said they're Christians. Oh, hallelujah. I hope today that we still have talk enough about Jesus and live enough like Jesus and walk enough like Jesus and talk enough like Jesus that the world will still say they're Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the greatest compliment anybody could ever give you. Amen. That's better than saying you're a good singer. That's better than saying you're a good preacher. That's better than saying you're a good teacher. That's better than saying whatever your job, your title may be. There's nothing greater in this world than when somebody recognizes by the fruits of your life that you are a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's not get too close to the edge. The Bible said the little town was called Laish. If you notice in our reading tonight, some of the things it said. First of all, it said that it was far from Zidon. Zidon was the oldest of the Phoenician cities, the strongest, the most powerful, the most prosperous, the most prominent, the most influential. But it says they were far away from Zidon. Zidon was a picture of protection. It was a picture of power, and it was a picture of provision. Actually, we could say that it's a lot like the church. That's where the power is, and that's where the provision is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What you need, you're going to find it in Jesus Christ in the middle of His church. Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Grissom, I love Jesus. I just don't love the church. How can that be? Do you know where Jesus lives? In the book of Revelation, John saw him. And the Bible said he was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are representative of his church. You want to find Jesus, you won't find him looking in a crystal, and you won't find him hugging trees. You'll find him in the middle of his church. Hallelujah. Because that's where he was then, that's where he is now, and that's where he'll always be. Hallelujah. In the midst of his church. Hey, wherever you are tonight, you're the church. People can meet Jesus on the job. People can meet Jesus in the school. People can meet Jesus in the marketplace. People can meet Jesus in your home. People can meet Jesus anywhere that you are, because you are the church. It doesn't mean just when we're gathered together for a service. Hallelujah. They can meet him anytime, anywhere that his church is, because Jesus is in the church. Amen. Praise God that the Bible said that Laish, they were far from Zidon. Means they had no protection. No protection. Amen. And then it says that they had no magistrate. That is, they had no leadership. He said they had no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. Boy, does that sound like our generation. Amen. Don't anybody tell me that I'm doing anything wrong. Don't anybody condemn me. You're judging me. No, I'm just looking at your fruit. The Bible said, by your fruit you shall know them. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So it's not the same as judging when you're just inspecting fruit. We're not, but the Bible said, judge not that you be not judged. But on the other hand, we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. Now, just let me say that just because you think something doesn't mean you have to say it. Some people need a disconnect between their mouth and their brain. I've heard people say, well, it's just as bad to think it as it is to say it. Wrong. I have been saved many a black eye and many a fat lip by not saying what I thought. Amen. Let me tell you something. You are the master of your unspoken word, but you're a slave to what you have spoken. Once it comes out of your mouth, you're in trouble. You're bound to it, and you're associated with it, and you can't back up and get it back down. It's out and it's gone. Amen. Watch what you say. Learn to think before you speak. I've heard people say, well, I said that without thinking. No, you didn't. You did think it. You just need to learn to put a little bit of a delay between your brain and your tongue. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody that's trying to help you here tonight. Amen. I'm not going to tell you who you are because you know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was good preaching there, Brother Grissom. Thank you, sir. You're trying to help me tonight. Woo! Amen. Somebody said he got his foot in the mouth. I think it was the whole shoe store. I mean, it wasn't just one foot. It was the whole thing. Amen. Praise God. So we got to be careful what we say. But you see, Laish, they were really thin-skinned people. And they couldn't take any kind of judgment or criticism. None. Boy, that sounds like our generation. Amen. Preach, but just don't say anything that makes me feel uncomfortable. Amen. They didn't want any magistrates. No authority. Amen. The Bible said it has pleased the Lord that by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Amen. There are several things that we need to observe there. First of all, it's God's plan. And he didn't say foolish preaching. There is some foolish preaching. But he didn't say foolish preaching. He said the foolishness of preaching. There's a difference, isn't there? And then he said, to save them that believe. And preaching is for believers. People that are looking for truth. People that want something to save them and something to keep them saved. Amen. Praise God. And so they didn't want any magistrate, no leadership, no authority. And then it said, and they had no business with any man. They were all little islands unto themselves. They were all little independent Marlboro men. Everybody wanted to do their own thing, their own way, their own time. Amen. Didn't have anything to do with it. No fellowship. No fellowship. Hear me tonight. If you don't fellowship with the body of Christ, you're putting yourself in danger. If you think you don't need anybody and you don't want to be around anybody, the devil is, he's setting you up. He likes it. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. Take a lesson from the banana. Stick with a bunch or you'll get peeled. Amen. The devil's just looking for a lone ranger out there somewhere. Amen. That's right. He's just looking for the lone ranger. Amen. The Bible says that he has fitly fitted us in the church where he wants us to be. Amen. Fitted us into, like the bricks of this wall. They're bricks, but they're not single. They now have become a wall. And when you get in the church, you're not just an individual, but you're the church. Amen. You're connected to people. Amen. You're connected to your brothers and sisters, people that love you and care about you and pray for you and will help you any way that they can to help you to be saved. You need the body tonight. You need the church tonight. Don't get off by yourself. Amen. Because that's a great way to get yourself in trouble. They had no fellowship, no business with any man. And the Bible said they lived in a wide place. The valley was called Beth-Rohab, which means the wide place. Amen. The thing about being wide, like a river that's wide, is shallow. The Platte River is really a wide river, but it's a shallow river. And when you have a wide place, there's not a lot of strength there. But if you take the same volume of water that's a mile wide and you narrow it down to about a quarter of a mile wide, it's got a lot more power and it's got a lot more strength and it's got a lot more focus. Amen. You know what a laser is? It's simply focused light. It's magnified light that has become focused. You know, there's a difference in a what they call a floodlight and a spotlight. A floodlight casts a wide beam. And it's not so hot. But your floodlight, our spotlight, it focuses the light in one spot. It gets real focused and it's real hot. Amen. That's why I'm sweating up here tonight, because I'm under the spotlight. Amen. And it shines on my spot. Amen. Amen. Get a suntan on the back of your neck and your head. So, amen. It's dangerous up here. So from those folks that outgrew their hair. Praise God. And so I'm getting meddling here. But there's a danger of getting so wide that you're shallow. Preacher, I think we need to be broad-minded. We need to widen this thing out. We need to broaden our doctrines and our teachings. And let's not exclude anybody. We're not. Not at all. Hey, I have never excluded anybody from the church. Amen. But some have excluded themselves. We will preach the word of the Lord. We will preach the Bible. We will preach the truth. Amen. We will worship the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. We will preach that Jesus is the only way. We will preach the straight and the narrow. We will preach that. Amen. But we'll not exclude anybody. Amen. No, sir. But if you choose to exclude yourself, I'm so very sorry, because we want you included. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you see, people get so wide sometimes you get shallow. You have no focus. You have no strength. Have no power. That was the church in Laish. Amen. It was, you talk about on the edge. Friend, they were living on the edge. But it cost them dearly. The Bible said that the tribe of Dan came. And one of the first thing that they noticed was that they were living quiet and secure, so they thought. They thought they were quiet, and they thought they were secure. One thing they noticed, they said this. They said that they're far from Zidon. They're off by themselves. They have no protector. They have no deliverer. They have no savior. Amen. And they said, they don't have any leadership. They're scattered, and everybody's independent, thinking differently. They can't get their act together. And then it said they don't have anything to do with one another. It was easy to just pick them off. The Bible says that they destroyed them and burned the city with fire. There's a danger, friend, living on the edge. It's easy to get picked off. You know how wolves and coyotes survive? When they get around a flock of sheep or they get around a herd of cows, they look for those weak ones and those little ones and those loners that are always at the back. Not the ones that are always huddled together, but the ones that are always lingering at the back, always behind. Always off by themselves. And when they get an opportunity, they circle them and they pounce on them and they destroy them. Don't you think the devil won't destroy if he can get you separated and off by yourself? You hear me tonight? You listen to what I'm telling you. Amen. I know folks, they get to saying things, but nobody in that church loves me. Quit lying. Everybody in this church loves you. Amen. Everybody in this church loves you. There's not anybody in this congregation that's not loved. Not one. Not one. Not one. Amen. But the preacher never calls me. Do you ever call the preacher? If I understood the scripture, it said, any sick among you, let him do what? Let him do what? Let him do what? Did it say call, or did it say sit by the telephone, wait for him to call? Huh? Let him call for the elders of the church. Hey, it's easier now than it used to be. You can whip out a telephone and go, beep, 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 beep. If you got speed dial, just push one button. Amen. And you can get it in a hurry. You hear what I'm saying tonight? I'm trying to preach to somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to save somebody tonight. I'm trying to save somebody that you feel like that you got it bad and nobody loves you and you're all alone. Amen. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think, and that's exactly where he wants you to be, because if he can get you off by yourself, he can destroy you. He will pounce on you with everything that he's got, and he will suck the life out of you. And he'll fill your spirit with bitterness and your tongue with gossip and deceit and division. And he will ream you out inside until you're empty and you're hollow and you're bitter and you're hateful. And you know you've seen it happen. Listen to me tonight. Don't live on the periphery. Don't live on the edge. You get right into the middle, right into the heart of this thing. Amen. Get it with everything you got. Worship with everything you have. Praise with everything you have. Pray with everything you have. Do all you can to serve the Lord with all of your might. Amen. And that's how you're going to be saved. Praise God. Amen. None of the periphery for me. No, sir. Amen. Praise God. But Brother Grissom, you don't understand, I'm just a loner. Well, you might want to think about changing that. You might want to think about changing that. Praise God. There are no lone rangers in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're a body. Amen. You know what the body is. Every part of your body, you need it. I don't know if you've ever had anything cut off, but it hurts. Is that right, Brother Lovelady? whenever they split you up and, you know, take your heart out and do a little plumbing, stick it back in, start it back up, it hurts. Amen. This, I tell you, this body, it's meant to function together. You're meant to function with everybody else. Amen. Praise God. My. I got to quit meddling and quit preaching here and stop. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, we don't want to become Pentecostal, professional Pentecostals. We got professional Pentecostals. We've been learning long enough now. We got professional Pentecostals. Now, let me just say, there's a lot of difference in a profession and a possession. You can profess something without possessing it. Our universities are filled with professors. They're always professing stuff, but they don't have much. Amen. Praise God. I know some Christians that profess, but they don't possess very much. Amen. Amen. The bottom line is, how much of the Holy Ghost do you possess, and how much of you does the Holy Ghost possess? That's the bottom line, not what you profess. But we have professional Pentecostals, and they use the church like going through a buffet. And they get real picky. I like this preacher, so if he's preaching, I'll go. And I like this singer, so if they sing, I'll worship. And I like this church activity, so when they're doing this, I'll go. But if I don't like the preacher, and I don't like the singer, and I don't like the activity, then I don't take part. Amen. You got it. Amen. Hey, isn't that right? Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? That's living on the edge. That's living on the edge. Could I just tell you tonight, folks, we're getting ready to see some times in this old world that you're going to have something to get you through. You're going to have to quit being so picky, and you're going to have to get in. You're going to have to grab hold with both hands and hang on like you never hung on in your life. We said it in Sunday school this morning. We're going to say it again tonight. The Bible says that what can be shaken will be shaken. There's some shaking getting ready to go on. Amen. We've had our confidence in North America. We've had a life of pretty much ease, and thank God for it. Amen. I'm patriotic. I love this country. I love this nation, but we're headed for some trouble. Amen. You can't live on borrowed money, somebody else's money. One of these days the bill comes due, and we're getting there in a hurry. Amen. You can't say, the Bible said that the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And we're getting real close to that because we got a bunch of God haters. Amen. Don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about tonight? I'm not saying something you don't already know. Hey, we need to get away from the edge. It's time to move to the center. It's time to get in with everything you got. Amen. The queen was looking for a chauffeur. And so one of the butlers was to try him out. So they would get in the limousine, and they'd go down a road, and there was always a particular curve over a mountain place, and the chauffeur would say to the butler would say to the guy that was driving, he'd say, I want you to see how close you can get to the edge of this cliff and not go over. And they'd go, and they'd get over real close to the edge, and then they'd go on, and he'd wipe the sweat off of his brow and wouldn't say another word. One day, he was trying a man, and he said, I want you to see how close you can get to the edge of this cliff. And the man said, no, sir. He said, my job is not to see how close I can get to the edge. But if I get this job, it's my job to drive the queen as safely as I can. I will not get to the edge. I'm going to stay in the middle of the road. And the butler said, you're hired. You're hired. We're not looking for the one, see how close he can get to the edge, the thrill seeker. But we're looking to the one, he said, that's got safety on his mind. Amen. He's going to get the cargo safely where it needs to go. Amen. Folks, tonight, we don't need a bunch of thrill seekers to see how close to the world they can get. Amen. Well, that's not what we need. We need somebody that's so satisfied with Jesus Christ. He doesn't need cheap thrills. Amen. His heart, his mind is sold out to the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you so very much for your time, your attention. Amen. But we got to be careful living on the edge. You got to be careful trying to live on the edge. We need to move to the center tonight. And we need to get just as close to Jesus as we possibly can. Amen. I want to be so close that I can hear his heartbeat. Amen. I want to be so close that I can feel his pulse. Amen. I want to be in the center of the will of Jesus Christ for my life. Amen. Somebody tonight been living on the edge, flirting with disaster. Let me invite you tonight. Come on in. Move to the center tonight. There's a place of consecration here. And there's a place of dedication. If this altar tonight is, it's for the saints. The Bible said that God gives us the gift of repentance. Repentance is a gift. It's not just a gift for the sinner, but it's a gift for the saint of God that's got too close to the edge. It's a gift for the saint of God that got too far and needs to get back. Amen. That's what this altar's for tonight. It's a place of consecration, dedication to God. Place that you can come and say, here I am, Lord. I'm going to give my life to you. Amen. I need to consecrate some things. I've kind of strayed a little further than I intended to go. But thank you for letting me come home tonight. Amen. Praise God. Somebody, you need to come and you need to rededicate. You need to reconsecrate. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's come tonight. The Lord's calling. Amen. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of the Lord draw you to this place. Amen. It's a precious place. It's a precious place. Amen. This altar is one of the greatest friends you'll ever have. Amen. It's simply a meeting place with Jesus Christ. It's a place to come and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Amen. Renew me. Refresh me. Restore me. Cleanse me, O Lord, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be white as snow. Amen. Lord Jesus, cleanse my thoughts. Cleanse my heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Cleanse my hands, O God, from any evil doing. Cleanse my feet, O God, and set them in the right path. Help me tonight, Jesus. I give my all. I give my life. Hallelujah. Make me what I ought to be. Make me what you want me to be. Hallelujah. Make me in your image, O Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever that calls for, whatever change I have to make, amen, whatever difference I have to make, Lord, help me to be like you. Amen. That's right.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus on earth alone. To be like Him all through life's journey.
To be like Jesus.
Yes, I do.
To be like Him.
Oh, yes.
All through life's journey. From this earth to glory. I only ask.
Yes, hallelujah. Let me